Hey everyone, this is the Leanna episode. Leanna is my beautiful widow friend. She's this gorgeous blonde from Kent here in the UK. She's 34. She lost her husband Luke in an accident abroad in April of 2019 after 8 years together. And they have a son named Cohen who's almost 4 years old. So after a glass of wine at Leanna's, I hit record, and this episode jumps straight into us already talking about post-baby body image and first-time sex with her first fling about 2.5 months after Luke's death. And we are referring to this guy as C because that's the first letter of his first name. Then we talk about WID guy. So Leanna likes to abbreviate widow and widower to WID. So we talk about a fellow WID who Leanna would later start a relationship with. It was somewhat brief, but it was definitely significant, more than a fling. We talk about also one of the main reasons behind their breakup. So this episode takes place in the very realistic setting of young widowed mothers. Our toddlers are asleep for the night upstairs, and I'm sleeping over. And the puppy dog is running around, and you'll hear us topping up our wine glasses as we get more and more into the nitty-gritty of Leanna's exciting sex life with her hubby Luke, her sex life now, how everything's changed, and how she's been feeling about it all. So this is Widow's Fire with a bottle of wine. I'm pouring another glass of wine, and this puppy dog of yours is biting. He's biting me. Okay, go.
Yes, I know. In the past, I've always been quite confident, you know, enjoyed exploring my sexuality and, you know, I've never had any problems in that department. But then widowhood, post-childbirth, that lack of confidence was a real issue for me. For me, it's like having sex again. Post-childbirth, I was confident because obviously I breastfed for like 8 months, so my boobs were different and just having... You know, someone see you like that, and I felt very vulnerable, but that's why I'm glad I just did it. I just forced myself to go ahead with it. And I did feel better afterwards. I think that having someone want you and actually having someone find your body attractive is just very reassuring.
Did you get completely naked or did you keep a bra on?
No, I know I got completely naked. Yeah. And it was light. The lights were on.
Yes. Was it in the daytime?
Was that? No, but it was in the summer. So it was like now. But well done. No, I was really, because I think for me, my boobs were the biggest thing that had changed. That breastfeeding really just destroyed them. There was nothing left.
What did you think about this new guy's body? What he chose to do to you? Like positions and stuff? How did you navigate the like, we don't know what we both like?
To be honest, I think me and the new guy actually just blended. We had that connection. There wasn't any awkwardness, if I'm honest. And to be honest with you, he was a bit wild. Like, he was throwing me around. I remember being a bit taken aback. Because it had been a while for me, because even before Luke died, suddenly, we were like 4 months into our IVF, so we weren't allowed to have sex. Because obviously I was on all the meds, I was injecting, and you can't have sex just in case you get pregnant. And then obviously you go on to have an embryo put in, because that has happened in the past. So our sex life had been quite quiet, I guess, the months leading up to his death. So yes, this young 27-year-old guy comes along and just kind of blew my mind, I guess. But I tell you what, that was nice. It was nice that he was confident and he knew exactly what he was doing, because then it took the pressure off of me. Because I was nervous. I thought, well, you know, what if I've forgotten how to do some things? Because when you've been with someone for 8 years, you get comfy and you know each other, you know what each other likes. You know, you have to learn a new person. And what if I've forgotten all these other things you can do? But no, it did. It all came back. It was fine.
Do you remember the last time you had sex with Luke?
No, I don't think. Oh, yes, I do. I do remember it. No, it was lovely. It was a really passionate one. And the lights were out just before we were going to sleep. Yeah, no, it was. It was one of our just really nice, sensual kind of, just, you know, man and wife kind of quickie before sleep kind of thing. But it was nice. But again, that wouldn't have been, because we were doing, especially just before he died, we were doing the embryo transfer piece. So that was definitely, like, definitely nothing could happen. So it would have been, probably would have been like 6 weeks before he died. So that thought in itself makes me a bit sad that we didn't do it sooner. But anyway, we had a lovely sex life. We were so comfortable with each other. So comfortable.
So tell me about, it ended with that first guy.
Yeah.
And then there was a gap.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to say any names, just like the first letter of the person's name.
Yes, I will try because that's hard to not to name drop. So the point is, with C, that was the first guy. Mm. That was the get it out of my system guy, which was, I must say, there was some good sex, but there was some really great sex, actually. That's what surprised me. But like I said before, I think when you have been widowed, there is this intensity to sex that wasn't there before. And I think it is because we're just so desperate to feel something other than pain. There has to be a reason behind that. So I have to say, I haven't had any bad sex since Luke died. But anyway, so with the first guy, it was nice. It was just nice just to get it all out of my system, to like fuck all that pain away. But then, so a couple of months later, obviously, then hooked up with somebody else, but there were actually feelings involved then, and that was really special.
Hold on, go back for a second to see.
Yeah.
You had recovered, obviously, from childbirth since before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that wasn't an issue, but you felt fine.
Yeah, what, physically?
Physically, yeah.
Yeah, apart from my lack of confidence. You know, what motherhood and childhood does to you, you lose a bit of confidence. Because I, being a stay-at-home mum as well, I literally felt like I'd become Leanna the mum, and I had forgotten how to be this young sexual beast that I once was.
Okay, and did you have orgasms with C?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, I'm not one for faking. Like, I'm actually quite a bit, I wouldn't say selfish, but it's like, no, hang on. If I'm having sex with someone, I'm going to get something out of this and it's going to happen. Yeah, but again, they were very intense. That's what I mean. It's been very different kind of sex. It's odd. So yeah, good orgasms.
But did you try and do anything that you'd never done before? Or were you like, oh, that's new. No one's ever done that?
Oh, gosh, let me have a think.
Were you like, no, oh, okay, no, he's going to try and do that?
No, actually, I was the one that, because I, it's funny because this guy was like making out he was the big guy and he'd been around the block and he knew all these crazy tricks. But actually it turns out that I've done a heck of a lot more than he has. And I was introducing him to things. He thought I was wild. He actually thought I was this wild, crazy lover, which actually boosted my confidence a bit.
Takes a sip of wine.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, this is doing wonders for my confidence, thinking back, actually. Mm. So, yes, no, he was really impressed with me. So that helped. That really helped. No, but it was the first couple of times, until I actually got fairly comfortable physically with that guy, there were moments and I just thought, oh, my body, like, I'm not quite happy with it. And there were just moments that I'd just panic. Not panic attacks, but just like panic every now and then. And suddenly think, then there's the moments where you suddenly realise and you're like, oh my God, I'm only here and I'm only doing this because my husband died. Although that didn't really happen during the sex. It was more just sometimes in the lead up and you'd be like, oh, this is crazy. But then you'd just get back in the zone and be fine. So anything else we want to know about C before I move on? So this was 2.5 months after Luke died. Just needed to just get, you know, all of this out of my system.
Did you feel guilty after?
No, I didn't at all. Not at all. I actually thought Luke would really want me to have some nice sex right now because he knew how important it was to me. And I actually, there were moments I imagined him like cheering me on from the sidelines. Honestly, there were. I can just imagine him being like, you go, girl, look at you. So no, but then,
that is such, that's just true love, isn't it? You know you had the right person when you know that that's what you would want for
honestly,
you.
Honestly, we just had the best relationship, and especially when it came to like sex. And the nice thing was there was absolutely no jealousy whatsoever in our relationship, like mine and Luke's relationship. Luke and I were great in that way. And Luke and I had threesomes anyway before, so he was quite comfortable with me like sleeping with other people. I definitely didn't feel any guilt or anything like that. I would think Luke would want me to be exploring that part of myself again.
A
I feel like people are going to want to know about the threesomes.
What?
Now that you've mentioned it.
Oh, damn. It's just too funny.
Just like...
Yeah. But it was actually Luke. I've had quite a few threesomes before I met Luke. For some reason, when I hooked up with Luke, it just didn't interest me anymore because I'd already done it. I knew that they were overrated. Good fun, really, really good fun. But I don't need them in my life to be happy. It was fine. I'd kind of done that, got the T-shirt. But he hadn't. And he was like, oh, I think it'd be really good. And it's interesting to point out they were MMF. So two guys, like Luke and a guy and me. So yeah, that was really fun.
And how did you choose the third person?
So I chose them on Fab Swingers. I think everyone knows
about Fab.
So secret gateway into the world.
If they don't, they do now.
Yeah. So no, Luke left it entirely up to me to find a man of my choosing that I found attractive, that I could, you know, get on board with. And I did. And do you know what? Thinking back, we just had the best sex life. Like, Luke would come home from work and I'd be like, oh, you know, if I've been flirting with this guy on Fab and he's a contender, you know, he's a potential one for coming round. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, what have you been talking about? And I'd recite the conversation and, you know, we'd both just have a giggle and get turned on or whatever. Anyhow, so yeah, so we had, to be honest, it was just the one guy, but he came round a couple of times. It was fine. Yeah, I think Luke realised they were probably a little bit overrated, the threesomes. He's done it and he's got that out of his system. Because the threesomes I had before Luke were two girls and a guy. So I thought, you know what, let me try something new. And Luke's trying something new anyway. So yeah, so it's nice. But literally no jealousy at all. Luke just wasn't that kind of guy. He was so secure in himself. Like, he wasn't jealous in the slightest. We were the type of couple where we'd go out for dinner and I would flirt with the waiter, or he'd flirt with the waitress, and we'd both have a giggle about it afterwards. Or I could say, like, he's a bit of all right over there. Like, I wouldn't mind a bit of him. And he'd just be like, oh, you're terrible, you are. And we'd just have a laugh about it. But I miss that, because not many guys are like that anymore. But we were so comfortable in ourselves and we were so secure in our relationship. And that's what frustrates me, because I've lost that. Oh, dear. And, you know, the chances of finding that again. Now slim, but anyway. I'm certainly giving it a good go. Yeah.
I love the reminiscing. Mm. I love hearing about, like, the good times with Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I like talking about it. And actually, I don't talk about it enough because...
Because you would have talked about it with him. Yeah. Who else did you really share all that stuff with?
Well, this is the thing. I wouldn't really know who to talk to about this now. I would say my sister is my best friend, but...
So, yeah. Who do you talk to about this stuff now?
No one, really. Just weirds. My friends? Well, I don't know if it's just me, but I think a lot of us lose friends, I think, after widowhood. I certainly did. And sometimes the ones that I would talk this kind of the nitty-gritty stuff to just disappeared off the face of the earth. And my friends are there for more, like, the grief. Like, we're all there for you and we know... things are tough and blah, 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 but they're not really there for the reminiscing. I don't know how to explain that in a better way, but they're more for the sympathy side of it. And I do have a really good friend that I do talk to a lot about this sort of thing, but she lives up in Reading and I don't see her very often. So, I mean, I do sit and reminisce myself.
How often do you think about sex with Luke? Specifically sex?
Well, I would say it was daily, even if it's just a memory. Yeah, even if something just pops into my head.
That's the thing. It's like, I feel like people don't realize that it's a daily thing, because intimacy, attention, affection, cuddles, yeah, kisses, quick peck, like the works. That was like a lifestyle thing. I just feel like it doesn't cross people's minds. Why would it? And you almost don't want it to.
Yeah.
It's such a weird...
Yeah, but the affection side of it, that was a prominent part of your relationship. That was just fixed. That was like all day, every day. So that is obviously the thing that we are likely to think about the most. Just like sitting on the sofa. I wouldn't be sitting next to Luke without stroking his arm or like tickling the back of his neck or something. That contact, that physical touching. And I'm a very touchy-feely person. You know, I have to be touching someone or something. Like, that's just how I am. And Luke would often say, he'd often comment and be like, oh, do you know what? I'm so lucky because you're always touching me. And, you know, I sit here and I get tickles all night and I don't have to do it back. Because I like to be the one just touching and just tickling and stroking and stuff. So yeah, for me, that is a massive loss, like a huge, huge loss. But I have gone so overboard with like my son now with Cohen, and I don't stop touching him to the point where I wonder if it's a bit too much. Sometimes like I feel like I'm suffocating him in love and affection.
Or are you showing him that kind of
affection
that he would then learn and then be capable of?
Yeah, it does worry me that what he's not seeing now, like what he's not witnessing through his parents and the love and the affection that they share, and having Luke as the role model, who would have been just an incredible role model because he was an incredible person. And that makes me sad to think that he doesn't have that. So maybe on some level I am. That is what I'm doing with him. I don't really know.
Because, yeah, where does that go? Where do you give that to? Like, if that's how you are as a person and you don't have that outlet anymore, then the affection, you want to give it to someone.
And he's very affectionate too, actually. Coco, he's amazing. Sometimes it's really sad when you just sat on the sofa and me and Cohen just really hugging passionately. We're just hugging each other so tight, and he's like kissing my arm.
Well, you are his first love.
I know, and I'm like, this is it now. This is the closest thing I'm gonna have to.
And that's what makes me really angry sometimes. That's where the resentment creeps in, because I realize what a different kind of love it is, and then I get really angry that I don't have what I'm used to, which is a grown-up romantic love. And it's like, well, where is that?
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
So, C ended.
Yeah, that ended.
C ended.
And that was a relief, actually. Such a weight off my shoulders when he was out of the picture.
Like a weight off, but then also now that means no sex.
Yeah, but do you know what? I knew it wouldn't be long. Like, I can't explain it. I knew that I would have sex at some point when I was ready to have sex again. If you're prepared to, like, lower your standards or just get it from anywhere, but you can get it. And I knew that there were guys out there I could have just called up and they would have come round. So in that respect, I wasn't panicking that I wasn't going to have sex, because I just thought, you know what? There's options. I can do something about that. So I'm just going to crack on now and just focus on Cohen. Because I think I told you about the guilt that I had anyway, about just focusing on me and just shagging. And then I just had this mum guilt that I hadn't given Cohen enough attention, and that I'd focused on my needs and not his. It just ate me up. So I was like, wait, Cohen needs my undivided attention now. So I did. So I just focused on him for a few months, and then obviously got close to a fellow weird. And that was nice. That was really nice, because there was a really nice connection, like a shared pain and understanding. And you didn't have to try and articulate your feelings and, you know, what's happened to you and your grief, because they just knew. So that was really nice. I really enjoyed just, you know, talking and developing a nice relationship there.
And it didn't bother you that they had someone else very much on their mind?
No. In fact, I found it quite comforting. I felt like there was a nice balance, actually, in the relationship, because had it just been very one-sided and just say it was just me that was still in love with somebody that wasn't here anymore, and they didn't have that. There was no one else that they were in love with. It was just me, but I was in love with my ex-husband and then falling in love with this person. That wouldn't have seemed fair to me.
You just called him your ex-husband.
Did I?
Yeah.
That's really bizarre. How odd is that? Well, I usually just say husband.
I get it.
Yeah, how strange. I wonder why you did that.
Because it's confusing.
No, I don't ever want him to be my ex-husband.
No, that's the thing, he's not. No, but, like, you could see how it would fall into, like, that category easily.
I guess, I think, because I was explaining if it had been someone that maybe saw him as more of an ex-husband than a late husband.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I need more wine.
Yes, you do.
I obviously have to be very careful about what I say around Cohen, as you saw earlier. And I was really sad when I was putting him to bed tonight. He said, I don't love Daddy anymore. It was really sad. And I said, oh, why is that? He said, well, he's not here anymore. I said, oh, well, I still love Daddy. I'll always love Daddy. Just because someone dies, it doesn't mean that your love ends, that your love carries on forever. He said, oh, no, no, I love you, Mummy. I know he doesn't mean what he says. He just says things.
He's got a whole lifetime to make sense of it.
Yeah, right? Because then that was followed by, oh, I really miss Daddy. And Mummy, if you don't read me another story, I'm going to be sad and I'm going to miss Daddy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so comes the bribery and the blackmail.
Such a tinker, honestly.
Oh my gosh, I'm like more than halfway through this bottle already.
You need another one. Two at least. No, but I must stick to wine because if I switch to like spirits in a minute, then that's just recipe for hangover.
2.5 months in,
yeah.
You got with C.
Yeah.
That lasted 2 months. You're into August. You ended that. When did you start talking to, what do you want to call him?
The weird guy.
The weird.
The weird.
The weird guy.
Yeah, so I think I told you before it was ongoing because we've got connections on the same groups. So we had gotten talking and that conversation was just ongoing for a while, actually. Like just a private conversation outside of the Facebook groups. For a couple of months. But, you know, just a bit of banter. No, it started off as a bit of banter, which was nice and fun and enjoyable. But then, you know, it became more about feelings and it just got a bit more serious and nice and we were both opening up and there was stuff, definitely something there from the start, like when we were talking there was this connection. So then we met up around Christmas and it was really nice. The sex was good from the start.
Were you worried it wouldn't be? Like, what was that first meeting like? Like,
no.
You see him for the first time face
to
face.
No, I wasn't worried at all. In fact, I knew it was going to be good from the conversation.
Because you guys had video.
Oh, yeah. Sex. Well, I don't know if we had at that point. We'd had sexed, you know, just the written version. And certainly exchanged plenty of photos. But had we actually had the video? I can't actually remember. We obviously did afterwards because it was a long distance relationship. Anyway, we'd had FaceTimes. We'd definitely had just normal FaceTimes. Oh, something must have happened, I'm sure, in the early days. But anyway, so the first actual physical meeting up and having sex, I wasn't worried it was going to be bad. In fact, I knew. In fact, I think we even exchanged some kind of message like, oh, how do we know it's going to be good? And I think I said like, oh, I know. I can just tell from these messages, this exchange of conversation is going to be good. Because if there's a connection in the flipping message through text, there's obviously going to be a connection in real life.
How long that connection lasts is another thing, because that's how I felt about my first fling guy.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, there's such a connection here. Sex was amazing. And then it fucking dwindled and turned into a nightmare. Like, just, ugh.
Yeah, so, I think anyway. That happened with me with C as well, actually. There was definitely a physical connection that just...
There's this initial thing that's great, and you can... Ride that as long as you, as long as you can.
I think
until you kind of get to know someone more. It's like, oh, you're such a disappointment in real life.
That's exactly how I feel about C. Like literally, I think back to him and it makes me cringe. It honestly, physically makes me feel quite ill. Actually, even though the guy was pleasant enough and the sex was like very good, but there's something about it that makes me cringe. And I think it's just, do you know what? I have no idea what it was. Maybe it was all those other feelings around, like, the shame that I felt as just, I don't know, as a person or as a mother and all the guilt and everything that I felt around that. I was just kind of focusing on him and he was the reason for all of those feelings. So maybe that's why.
You never thought you'd have sex with anyone else ever again in your life. You were married.
Yeah, exactly.
That's weird.
That is so odd. Yeah.
I think you're done and you're like happy being done. You're like, cool, good. I'm done for life.
Because in previous relationships, I hadn't been totally content. I must say I wasn't the most faithful of girlfriends in the past. I really wasn't because sex has always been very important to me. If it's not right, I can't help myself. Like I just, you know, I'm not satisfied. But when I met Luke, it was like, right, no, this is it for life. And Luke is one of the few people that I have never cheated on. Just been as faithful as ever. And I was quite happy with just having him for the rest of my life. Thank you very much. And not having to worry about any of this. But like I say, it's been fun. It's certainly been a learning
curve. You're just making me feel like people don't remember that widows, because the word itself makes you sound like an old person. There's something about, like, you forget that a widow and a young widow is still a fucking person who is sexual Yeah. It annoys me that people would think you're okay with just suddenly being stripped of everything that you enjoyed with your person who you're in a relationship with. Not a friendship. A relationship.
Because it's amazing, actually, the few people that actually comment on that. Like, since Luke's died, I don't think any family or friends has ever commented on the sexual side of things. Like, nobody. The only people I talk about it with are fellow widows and widowers. I don't think any of my friends has come to me and said, oh, how are you coping with the lack of sex? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's never. I'd be curious to know if anyone's ever said that to any widow.
Yeah. Well, surely someone must have been so bold. But like I say, C was a bit of a secret anyway. I didn't really tell anyone about him. The neighbours knew because they could hear. That was the other thing. I just felt really embarrassed about that because I don't know. I'm not like the quietest in bed anyway. But certainly since widowhood, like I said, it's like I'm just this crazy wild freak now.
I actually I heard myself being so loud the last time.
Really?
I was like, oh my God, I sound like this like wild animal that's like this really raw, like really like angry sound in me. I was like, oh my God, this might not actually sound attractive.
Luke used to say, I sound like I'm in pain. No, he didn't just say I sound like I'm in pain. He said I looked like I was in pain because my face was so like screwed up and intense. Oh dear. And I don't think that's changed. I think that's just gotten worse, to be honest. And so anyway, so last summer, you know, when I was seeing C, it was really hot. We had that heat wave, so all the windows were open. I was embarrassed.
Where was Coco?
He was asleep in bed. This is exactly what I mean about the mum guilt. Like, I think back now and I'm like, how the hell did I have sex that loudly with my son in bed asleep with some strange man a few months after his dad died? Like, I hate myself for it and I beat myself up about it. And sometimes now when I think about it, I get really bad anxiety.
But do you remember anything from when you were 3 and a bit years old?
No, but that's not the point. The point is, like, it's wrong. It's just so wrong.
But like, why is it wrong if your life was absolutely wrecked?
And actually, I did wake him up once. This was with Wid Guy in the shower. My shower connects to his bedroom. And he was screaming. No, he was calling out for me or something from his bedroom. And I managed to hear it through the shower and like ran straight in there. And he said, Mummy, are you hurt? And it was horrible. Honestly, I felt awful. And I went back and I just said, oh, that's awful. God. I feel terrible. He thinks I'm in pain.
And he said, Mummy, are you hurt?
Yeah.
And did he see Wid Guy?
Oh, yeah. He was staying over with his boys. Because obviously that's what we had to do. It was a long distance.
So he came here.
So his boys were asleep in bed as well.
In the spare room that I'm staying in.
Yeah. Okay. So all three children asleep soundly in their beds. And it's just me. I don't know why I'm saying we. I have this sound issue. But it's not something I can control. This is my problem. This is why I think if I can't control it, then just don't do it when he's in the house. Because it's not fair. But no, so yeah, obviously the kids had a whale of a time the weekends we were together. They didn't have a clue what was going on, but it's something that I think back to now and I really beat myself up about it.
Weird guy would come here, stay here, and then that went on how long?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think we only spent about 4 or 5 weekends together, either with or without kids. That was like total. So like I say, that's very complicated because there were feelings on both sides. And it was nice, and our kids got on together. And it was just a nice kind of family feel when we were together. But, I mean, I am entirely to blame because of the complications around my life and Luke and I, you know, in the IVF and my wanting to meet that baby that we made. So I'm not sure, but anyhow, the thought of just like meeting my baby and just doing that just gets me through those thoughts anyway. I don't really dwell on that. But I do know that in the future, once I'm where I'm at, you know, once I'm through all of this and like have my body to myself again, I definitely will need something and someone. But like I said before, it doesn't worry me too much because there's always options. Like there's always someone available to come around and service us. So I just don't think about it too much. Like, I don't panic about that. I just stay quite positive when it comes to just like sex and stuff. So it's just a case of, is anyone up for sleeping with a pregnant woman? Oh dear. I'm sure someone has a fetish about it. Come on. I've had some pretty weird messages from people about some odd fetishes.
So you have your second baby, second Luke baby, IVF. Yeah. Do you see yourself ever being interested in remarrying?
That is an interesting one because I have to admit, probably last year, I would say marriage was not important to me. Like, I've done that. It was amazing, but it didn't quite work out in the end. So it's like, well, the only benefit I see from marriage now is the practical side of it, the legalities, financially and everything else. I could take it or leave it, to be honest. And if I did ever get married again, like I say, it would probably be more from a practical point of view. Like, who's going to be legally entitled to my child if anything happens to me? And it would be very low key, like on a beach somewhere in the middle of nowhere with hardly any people there. Like, I've had the big wedding day. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't need that again. I've had my dream man, my soulmate. I've had that, and I only had it for 8 years, but I had it. Some people don't ever have that, and I do appreciate it. So no, I'm just very much on the fence about that. I don't need marriage again. But if I was to meet someone and I knew it was going to be, you know, just them for life, then yes, it would make sense to get married, wouldn't it? Just legally.
How do you see yourself including Cohen in your decisions going forward?
So I think Cohen will now be, I think I've made decisions up till now that haven't been as focused around him as I would like. And the guilt eats me up. It literally eats me up, even down to silly things. Like I said about waking him up when I was having sex once. And like when I was at the hospital and weird guy came to see us and then we sneaked up. Like, I hadn't left my son's bedside once. But then we sneak off for a cheeky kiss in the corridor quickly before he has to leave because he'd come down all that way to see us. And like, we hadn't been able to kiss or anything because we'd been at Cohen's bedside. And then we got back and Cohen had just had a funny turn and he'd puked everywhere. The nurses were all around him and everything. And I'd left for like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or something. And I hadn't ever left his bedside. I just left and that happened to happen. It's just things like that that I dwell on and I think, no, I shouldn't have even done that. Why did I do that? Like, he needed me. And it's things like that that eat me up. And I think, do you know what? You have to focus on him more. I don't know. You have to just kind of include him in your decisions. I do include him in my decision, but you know, he has to be the main focus point. But then you could possibly argue that a happy mum equals a happy child. So you need to focus on your own happiness and the decisions that are going to achieve that for you. But I can't get over this guilt at the moment.
Because the decisions you're making, you don't know if they're going to bring you happiness or not. It's like so much trial and error.
Yeah,
so you pick something, you do it, and then you're like, oh, and then later you're like, well, that was...
Yeah.
Either worth it or not.
I'm one of these people that I don't tend to dwell too much on decisions. Like, you make a decision, and some way or another, if you look deep enough, you can find something positive. I generally trust my decisions. Like, I trust myself that I weighed up the pros and the cons and I made a decision and that's just what happens. Like, I have very few regrets in my life. In that respect, I don't beat myself up too much. But just going forward, I just kind of do remind myself that, right, Cohen is the most important person in this situation. Just keep him in mind. But having said that, I don't see myself alone for the rest of my life because I'm not that way inclined. I'm just not. Like, I need to love someone, I need affection, I need companionship. And I just think if you're that kind of person, you will have it again eventually. So I just kind of take peace from that and comfort and just kind of think it will happen when it happens, which helps because you don't kind of stress about it too much. This is now like my, what, fourth glass of wine? Or how many have you had?